Speaking of crazy, this is a confession. I forgot my Bible to preach this morning, so bear with me as I search the scriptures on my phone this morning. I can't believe that. That's probably the pastor's worst nightmare or something, to forget their Bible when they're going to preach. But kind of crazy. So we're going to talk about that cliche this morning that most pastors probably in the world are talking about right now, and that's freedom. Although I want to give a little bit of a different taste on it than maybe they're talking about. So there's different types of freedom, right? There's different types of freedom. Like, you could be free to live. You can be free to, like, practice religion. You can be free to just make choices. You just have free will, right? We have all these different types of freedoms. And it's kind of like, I think it was described once as like jumping out of skydiving out of an airplane. You have if you can get on the airplane and go up in the air, you have the freedom to get there, right? If you get to the door and you're too scared, you lost your freedom in something. Maybe it's just in your mind you've lost your freedom, right? You might be able to, like, there's no law saying you can't skydive, but your freedom in your mind says, I'm afraid, I can't do this. And so now you've lost a freedom right there, right? So you have a freedom to make the choice not to do it however you wanted to do it, but you lost a freedom of some sort, right? So there's different types of freedom, right? And we all strive for freedom. I think of Braveheart, holding the sword up, freedom, you know, like, and it's just passionate. It's fight to the death for freedom. It's important, apparently, right? And as Americans, especially, we probably strive for freedom in a little bit different way than a lot of the world does. Praise God that we got so many more freedoms than a lot of the world does. Praise God for that. However, we can also take it for granted because of it. In the Bible, we have free. We learn that we've had free will, right? In the garden, Adam and Eve, they made a choice. They had the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They had a choice not to take it. God told them, don't eat of that tree. The one thing. And they had the freedom of choice to go ahead and eat from that tree, and they did. And what happened? Here we are today. So, in America, of course, we have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, and so on and so on. So there's different types of freedom. But did you guys know also the gospel message is freedom? The gospel message is not just death on a cross. It's freedom. It's freedom of life everlasting. It's freedom of life now with Christ. But I want to talk about something that would definitely hold back some freedom in Christ today. So I've done some counseling with some people late in the last year, and it seems like there's a theme that kind of keeps happening that I have to address with people. And it's when they're dealing with sin, they're so focused on sin, they've lost the freedom of life. And let me give you an example. So like if you have a sin in your life that you've either committed, or it's maybe one of those secret sins that, like, it is something that you just can't seem to whip for some reason. And so you sit there and you find ways to get yourself away from it a little bit. Maybe like you're okay, I won't drive down this alley because it's too close to the bar. And so I always want to swing into the bar and get, you know, I don't know, six beers or something like that at night. Whatever. I don't know. I'm just throwing out examples. And, you know, so you make these adjustments physically, but you're always, when you see something about this sin, you're reminded of it, and you're like, you're driven towards it in a way. at trying so hard to stay away from it. The focus is still on the sin, even though you may not be avoiding the sin. The focus is on the sin, and that's not freedom. That's not freedom. It's not freedom to sit here and go, here is something that I have to avoid in life and move around and away from all the time. And so my eyes are on it, whatever it is. My eyes are focused on the sin instead of the freedom from the sin. Jeff Swan once told me when he's riding a motorcycle, he has to focus on the places he wants to go. And when he like does a jump, he has to focus on the place he wants to land. Otherwise, he's going to hit wherever he's focusing on other than that. So if you're like seeing a rock in the road, guess what you're going to do? If you stare at the rock and you're going down the road, what are you going to do? You're going to hit the rock, or at least come really close to it, you know, but you had all this big lane on the other side. When I was a kid, I was driving a four-wheeler on Winona Road. Do you guys know where Winona Road is? Up here behind Kooski, there's nobody drives that road anymore unless they live up there. But Winona Road, I was driving a four-wheeler down it, and we were supposed to stay in sight of my parents who were driving behind us. And I got a little wild, you know, and I was driving fast. And as I got farther down the road, I realized I was getting farther from them. And so I just kept looking back. I kept looking back. And I was like, man, they're not coming. So I just held my head back a little longer looking when I was driving. And then all of a sudden I went off the road and drove up and flipped it back down on myself. My parents freaked out. I was just fine. But anyway, my focus was on something else other than the path at which I'm supposed to be focusing on. My focus was on something that was stealing my freedom to be able to be on the path that I'm supposed to be on. So often, our sin robs us of that freedom because our focus is on it so much, at avoiding it. And we think that there's this condemnation from Christ that is, hey, deal with your sin. Deal with that. Yes, we want to deal with our sin. Yes, we want to move away from it. That happens in repentance. That happens at your altar. That happens in an offering. But that does not mean we should be continually focusing on it, because it's so much easier to move away from sin when we're focused on Christ Jesus, when we're focused on that relationship with him, right? If that is our focus, and if we're staying in this place where we are focused on life in the Spirit with him, guess what's going to happen? Those things are going to be so far away from us anymore. They're going to be so far away from us anymore. It's not even going to be something we have to focus on at all. That's what freedom feels like. That's what real freedom feels like. Our country can't offer that. Nobody can offer that but Christ. If we're focusing on an empty cup, and we just focus, it's an empty cup, and we never focus on the filling of that cup, we're just going to be left with an empty cup, right? We need to be focused on the filling of the cup. We need to be focused on that kind of thing to have freedom in our life. Peter walking on the water is what I'm also reminded of. And his focus was on Jesus when he got onto the water, right? What happened? He took his focus off what was Christ. He took his focus off the right thing and started to focus on how he was going to get there. He started to focus on the things that might trip him up while he's on his way there. And he went from walking on water to sinking in water, because he was looking at the white, he was looking at the waves. His eyes were no longer on Christ. And Jesus says, what? You have little faith? He's walking on water. That's crazy. But Jesus was supposed to be the focus. That was what freedom was. You could walk on water. That's a different kind of freedom right there, when your focus is on Christ. But when we focus on those waves and we focus on the things that trip us up, our fear takes over, because we're thinking that there's something that we need to do. There's something that we need to do. And what we need to do is more important than just focusing on Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Is this making sense? Because it's an important concept. It is this hugely important concept in life. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 30 through 36. Man, I wish I had my Bible. John chapter 8, verse 30 through 36. Then many who heard him say these things believed in him. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What will set you free? The truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" Hold on a second. If these are Jews, Jewish priests, let alone, what do you mean we have never been slaves to anyone? They're talking about a certain kind of freedom, aren't they? They're not talking about physical freedom because they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years before Abraham. Or excuse me, after it. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and then you know what happened. Anyway, but they're saying we have never been slaves to anyone. They're talking about spiritual freedom, I think. I think that's what they're talking about here. And then Jesus replied, "I will tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family. But a son is part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you are truly free." It's kind of like he's talking in code, isn't it? To us, to them, it probably was very clear what he was saying, because he's talking about being the son of God. And yes, it says, I realize, I'm going to keep reading for a little bit. "Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father." These guys are so focused on their works and their freedom from death because they are in the family, the Israelite family of God, that they're missing being an actual child of God. But they go to church. They teach people about this stuff. It doesn't matter. They're missing it. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be me, whoever. I don't care. If you're missing it, you're missing it. There is only true freedom through the Son. There's only true freedom through Christ. I got to bounce back and forth between my notes now too and the Bible, so it would have been easier with my Bible here. So we cling to what we focus on. If we focus on our low finances, let's say, what are we going to do? If we spend all of our time focusing on that, what are we going to do? We're going to either continue in low finances or we're going to correct those low finances and figure something out, right? It's our focus. But it'll be kind of a fear-driving thing, right? That we're doing that. If we focus on the bills, same thing. And what about, like, if we focus on retirement? That is such a big thing in America these days. Like, when you go to a job, you want to make sure they got a good retirement plan, right? You want to, and there's nothing wrong with trying to get those things within God's plan for you. But if they become the focus, we're missing something. We're Peter stepping out of this boat. We're afraid of these waves of finances. And we're taking our eyes off Jesus if all we're looking for is a retirement plan and then God's plan. Does that make sense? If we're looking for a retirement plan or a financial plan and then God's plan, we're sinking in the waves. Oh, are you bringing me a Bible? Oh, thank you. That is pretty. But if we focus on our relationship with God, what will happen? Our life will reflect that. Our finances may not. That's okay. I can tell you, and I'm not, this is no toot of my horn at all, but like when I worked at IFG and I spent 15 years almost up there and got into management, and I was making great money doing so. When God knocked on my heart and it was like, you need to leave that job and go full time with me. It was hard. Like it was emotionally scary. Like I was ripped apart because I found so much identity in the security that I had in a retirement plan, in a great financial structure, even in my status as management in this place. I found so much security in that I was like, God, you're ripping my security away. And then I realized that's a good thing, because my security wasn't in him as much as it was supposed to be. I should be trusting fully in him. And I sat down right over here during a worship service one morning while we were in here in worship and just praying through that. And I was like, God, I just need more of a clear answer from you to do this, because this hurts way too bad for my bank account. This hurts way too bad for my retirement. This hurts way too bad for even feeling like I'm not going to be able to provide for my family, which was tough. But knowing that he's calling me out, and clear as day, I heard, give me a fleece. I gave him a fleece, and within 24 hours, I got the phone call that was on my fleece. I was like, this is weird. This was not expected. That's why I threw it out there, because I didn't think it would actually happen. But within 24 hours, it happened. And that was my decision. It was like, God, you do mean business here. And when I quit my job, it was just a couple months later after that. But it's, if we set ourselves up with those things, our identity becomes those things. And if we set ourselves up with Christ, our identity actually becomes freedom from those things. So faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, not things we made sure we avoided. Freedom is built on faith. Faith forgets fear. Hope is the opposite of worry, and faith is the opposite of fear. Our eyes on fear creates a place where fear cannot leave. Our eyes on faith creates a place where fear can't live. So what we're talking about is when we are not in this focus on our faith in Christ for everything that we need, we're in fear of something. Do you get what I'm saying? Like if we don't focus on a faith in Christ to provide everything we need, he even provides for the sparrows, the word says. And if we're not focusing in that direction to where he's our provider for it, we're in fear of it. We're in fear of something. Faith does not live where fear is. You hearing me? You can have hope when you have some fear, but faith is not there where fear is. Now, you might be a little bit nervous about a situation, but you have faith and you're pushing through. That's okay. That's not the kind of fear I'm talking about. But when your focus is on that thing that you're afraid of, and you keep your eyes on that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to miss your faith. You're going to miss your faith in God and what he's wanting to do in that situation. You got to be able to lay those things down. Romans chapter 8. Such a good chapter in Romans. I didn't even look what this New Living Translation. Okay. So Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 1 through 17. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. That's what we just celebrated, right? With communion, we just celebrated that sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. If we're following the Spirit instead of our sinful nature, what do we got to focus on? If we're focusing on our sin, it's going to be really hard not to follow our sinful nature. We need to be focused on the Spirit because there's no room for sin. There's no room for our vision to be on sin when our focus is literally straight directly on the Spirit. What verse was that? That was verse 4. Man, I didn't go through there very fast. Okay, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. If you're having to focus on it, and this might sound like a hard line, but like if you're having to focus on your sin all the time, what is in control of you? Even if you're not committing, so to say, the sin. Let's say you're not in the physical act of sin, but your focus is 100% on trying to avoid your sin. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, if there's a therefore, we need to find out what it's there for, right? Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if you, through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs, in fact, together with Christ. We are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. It's talking about a different focus. To be living by the Spirit means to be focused on things of the Spirit. And now, when it's talking about the sin, it's not talking about a commitment of, like, you've done a sin, and so now we have to return back, and you no longer are you're in death. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a life driven by. He's talking about a life focused on. When Paul writes this, he's talking to not only the church in Rome, but the Gentiles as well. And they may not understand the Jewish concepts and whatnot. So they're not going to understand some of the things about the laws of Moses and all that kind of stuff. So he's just talking about a focus here, a focus. Where is it supposed to be? It's supposed to be on the Spirit. When we give our sin our focus, we steal away what God wants for us. But when we're focused on Christ, and let's say we end up in sin somehow along the path, we repent, we move on. I'm not saying that every time we sin, all of a sudden we've lost our way with Christ. What I'm saying is, don't let sin drive you off the course or off the path because you're so focused on trying to avoid it now. I know it sounds really repetitive, but that is such an important concept that I really want to get across to people today. I'm going to read from verse 31 to the end now, so we're going to skip a little bit. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Verse 31, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself, turn the page, has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Does that sound like freedom? Who can be for us? Or if God is for us, who could be against us? That sounds like freedom to me. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Do not measure your outward experience on life as to whether God loves you or not. There are people that die for his name every day. There are people that are abused for his name every day. That is not a measure of how much God loves you. It's a measure of how much he loves the people you're sent to go send the message to. And he loves you just as much. But our physical experience on this earth is not going to match what is going on in our spirit. We can have heaven on this earth in our spirit, but be in the most hellhole in this world, if that makes sense. Do not match your physical experience with this world to what is actually going on in your spirit. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. He revealed his love to us by putting his son on that cross. So I want to remind you that freedom is not comfortable. Freedom is not you found comfort. That's not what freedom is. Now, you might find comfort in the freedom of Christ, but it doesn't mean that you're going to physically experience comfort when you're in freedom. Freedom is not complacency. Getting to a place where you don't have to worry about anything is not freedom. Getting to a place, when I say worry, that's not the same kind of worry as I meant. What I mean is like getting to a place where there's nothing that you have to make a decision on or anything like that. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. Complacency, that is not freedom. That is not freedom. Freedom is contentment in the divine disruptions of this life, because your faith is in Jesus and not in your satisfaction. So we don't rise up by watching the ground. I'm sure that Orville Wright and whatever the other guy's, his brother, Redenbacher maybe, no, that was another guy. That was another Orville, I guess, wasn't it? Orville Wright, what was his brother's name? Wilbur, okay, like the pig, that's right. Okay, Orville and Wilbur Wright were not focused on the ground to lift off. When they built the Kitty Hawk or whatever that's called, they weren't focused on the ground to lift off. And we don't get the freedom of lifting off the ground if we're always focused on the ground. We need to be focused on the sun. S-O-N, the sun. That's what we need to be focused on. And we rise up above what this earth has to offer, the sin of this world. We rise up above that when our focus is on the sun. So in closing, I'm going to read one more verse. Sorry, three more verses. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. Says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Peace to me sounds a lot like freedom. When we have biblical peace, we're probably experiencing some biblical freedom. There's only one giver of true peace. And when we focus our eyes on Christ, we can have that true peace that makes us get out of the boat, walk on waves, not worry about them. Just keep focusing on Christ and making one step ahead of the other. No matter what your bank account looks like, no matter what just happened that just seems to crush you, no matter how long you've struggled with that same sin, we turn our heads towards Christ and we're going to find freedom. We gaze upon him and we will find peace. We keep our eyes focused there because that's where freedom lives. It doesn't live in this country. It doesn't live in us directly being comfortable. It lives in Christ Jesus alone, the belief in him, and the path of following him. So today, that's the one thing I really want us to get, is that our sin needs less focus. Our focus needs to be directed on Christ, and our sin will disappear away from us. When it comes, we repent. We move away from it. But we don't fear going back. We focus on Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray real quick. God, we just thank you, Lord, for this message of freedom. God, even in my life, I see places where I need more freedom because I need to be more focused on you. So God, is this message of freedom, it's not just for this congregation, but for me. God, I pray that we are receiving that. And God, we are in a place right now where we are in repentance of the sins that we need to repent of. But God, that we don't stay in this moment of repentance. God, I know that you want us to be contrite in our repentance and move away from it. And so God, as we are here right now, I pray that everyone in this room is thinking of those things that they need to repent of. And that there is contrite repentance in this room this morning, God. And that we move away from those things. We take the focus off of the fear of doing and committing those sins, and we put it on you and following after you. God, that we'd be in a place where we don't have to worry about the guilt that comes with not getting in your word enough, because we're just so excited to get into your word that we can't help but put it down. God, that we would have this relationship with you that it goes above everything that this world has to offer. God, that our focus would just be gazed on you for every need that we have, but also for every step that we take in whatever direction we go. That it is because you are driving and leading us in those ways. God, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus, to be sent on the cross for us, to allow us to have this freedom from our sin. God, for the Holy Spirit to be a part of our lives, to help us, to guide us and direct us through that. And God, for your love to send those. We thank you. In your name, amen. Amen. We're going to have ushers, that's what they are, come forward. I'm so glad you guys know how to do this. This is good. We're going to have our ushers come forward, and we're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings this morning. you can also look inside your folders that you got. You have a Connect card. That Connect card is to help us connect with you. We're not going to go sell your email address to everybody we can, although we could make a little more money for the show. I've never thought, maybe we should do that. Just kidding. We're not going to do that. It just helps us connect with you a little bit more. And so if you could fill that out, maybe you have an updated address or something like that. You've already filled one out before, but now you have a new address. Put that in there. Update it for us, would you please? Let's pray for the offering this morning. God, we thank you for your provision in this body. God, we pray that everything that we have is yours. And God, anything that we receive as a church, God, we offer up to you and look for you for guidance on how we spend that. And God, we just thank you so much for everything, all the blessings that you've given us as a church, not just as a building, as a church, but as a body, each an individual. We thank you for it. In your name, amen. If you want, you can drop the Connect card into the offering basket as it comes by as well. Don't forget, we have the staff and volunteer meeting July 9th, so next Sunday at noon. Don't forget that. We'd like all of our staff and volunteers here if we could, and we'll make it as quick as possible. They usually go about an hour, and that's about it. So make sure you set your turkey in the oven for 1 o'clock-ish. Not 12 next week, so that you don't have that excuse to go home. And prayer team, is going to come forward this morning. Maybe there is something in this message that you've realized that you are living in a place where sin is controlling in your life. Even when you're not committing the sin, it's the focus on the sin that's controlling your life. Maybe that's you this morning. Pray with our prayer team this morning. You don't have to. You can take care of this with God in your seat. It doesn't matter. But it does matter to agree with somebody in prayer and have that person next to you praying for you as well. So that does help. So this morning as we close, get prayer. Get prayer. Don't be afraid of prayer. And we just want to thank you guys for being here this morning. So let's pray as we close. God, we thank you so much for this message of freedom. God, I pray that everybody in their seats, God, if there be anything, that you would remind us of those things that we need to give up to you and offer to you this morning. God, we love you. We thank you for this country that we do live in, that we are mostly free physically to be able to gather and to be able to do this, be able to speak your word boldly. God, we thank you so much for that. God, we also just thank you for the freedom that we receive in the Spirit through you. God, that our lives would reflect freedom around us as we go on today. God, that the people around us wouldn't be able to just take us back down to where we were when we showed up, but God, that they would be lifted up from going, wow, there's something different about this person.